Hi, it's Christina Merkley from Shift at Coach Inc., and I'm happy to be here on Drawn by Success.
Welcome to DrawnBySuccess.com. This is Carlos Castellanos, and I'm joined by Bob Ostrom. How you doing,
hey,
buddy?
That's me.
That's you.
I'm doing great, Carlos. Yeah, that's me. Welcome, everybody. We've got a guest today with us, Carlos.
We've got
Christina Merkley.
Right. Christina Merkley is an interactive graphic mentor. Now, actually, I discovered Christina about, I'd say about 2.5-3 years ago, And I had never heard of graphic facilitation or any of that, and
yeah, sure.
that whole field just kind of fascinated me. Welcome aboard, Christina.
Hi, you too. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we're really stoked to be able to talk to you today. I mean, this is kind of a new area, you know, as far as careers go in the art field, or, you know, I don't know that you'd consider this in the art field, but it's closely related. I mean, it's transferring ideas. Tell us a little bit about, for people who may not be familiar with graphic facilitation and that kind of thing, what it is that you do.
Well, I use the term interactive graphics because it kind of gives a big umbrella term overall, because there's lots of ways these visual skills are used. But in a nutshell, it's using visuals and visual thinking and learning to help people. And they might be in groups, or they might be just individuals or couples or business partners. But it's helping these people literally draw out their thinking. So, if you're familiar, there's a really great book on the market a couple of years ago, Dan Rome, called Drawing on the Back of the Napkin.
Yeah, great book.
Yeah, so graphic facilitation really takes that. It's like the napkin is actually mural-sized paper on the wall, right? Like nowadays we've got whiteboards, that sort of thing. But this is a way of drawing out what's going on inside of people, thinking-wise and feeling-wise, so that they can see it. And then everybody around them that they're in meeting with or whatever's going on can actually see it and understand each other, make decisions. It's often coming down to some sort of planning, right? Having to have some sort of decision-making or consensus made. And it's done in a visual way. It's done with words, but it's also done with icons and little pictorials and things that just really help people see what they mean.
How do you approach a company or a client and say, you know, this is what you need, and this is how I can help you?
Well, it's, believe it or not, I know it's a lot of people think this is new, or they've stumbled upon it, like you were saying, Carlos, a couple of years ago, where you didn't even know this existed. I've been in it for 17 years, and I had the same experience when I stumbled across it down in San Francisco. It's actually been around for about 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 30 years, 40 on the stretch for the first pioneering people in it. So people find us now, and it's actually become quite well known in some geographical areas and in some industries. The real hub for it came out of San Francisco in the 70s, 80s. And people there, especially with the technology industry, used it. And so it's just really proliferated from there. So the people who I work with, for the most part, they know about it. And I've gone on, like I said, I've been in it for 17 years now. So there's a lot of different ways. So I started first with something called graphic recording, which was where something's going on and you're off on the side doing notes of it. Again, on those large sheets of paper. Nowadays, it's also being used with tablets and computers. You don't necessarily have to be in the same room to do the recording, the graphic recording. Then it can be used more interactively, not just passively off on the side doing notes, but there's actually some sort of process going on with the group. So back to those technology companies in Silicon Valley around San Francisco, there's a lot of need for them to do thinking together, to make, to create things, to develop products, to do software, to make decisions about where they're going as a company. So graphic facilitation is where you're using a process to help people do strategic planning or visioning work. And the niche that I've go oh, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just saying, so how does a typical session go? I mean, what do you do when you get there and how do you help these people?
Well, it depends on what you're doing. So again, I call it interactive graphics because there's actually four different ways you can apply these underlying base skills. So one way is something called custom chart work. So there are, if people plunk in, and nowadays this is so great because we've got the internet and you can start to plunk in these terms, graphic recording, graphic facilitation, and you will get a whole plethora of different people's sites, mine included. Go to makemark.com is mine and you get a lot of information on this. Overall, it just helps you, depending on the process. So if people custom chart work, you're going in and you're creating things like history maps of a company. For example, General Motors had one done through a company I used to work for called the Grove Consultants in San Francisco. Gorgeous, elaborate history map of the company since its inception. It'd be interesting to see what's being added to it in its most recent trials and tribulations.
Sure.
Visa is another one where they create these maps that can be used for, especially for people coming into a company, might be HR, where they're doing some sort of orientation as a new employee, and they use these elaborate maps that explain the history of the company and even explain maybe the industry or the product. So for example, with Visa, they have this history of the credit card. And so they actually explain how did credit cards come into being and how has their company grown over the years and how are you as a new employee coming in going to fit into this overall big system. So that's one example. So in that particular situation, you would go in and you work with a group. If you're creating one of these custom charts, you're coming in and you're working with people like the communications director or the marketing people or maybe even executives to figure out what's the message, right? What is it that wants to be communicated here for your new people coming in and creating this map or whoever it is that you're creating it for? You might also be creating maps around a vision. What's the vision of the company? Not just the past, but the present or the future. So that's one whole area of work. And some people in this industry strictly work in that. And for your audience, for people who are already artists or illustrators, that's a great application of their skills, where they can come in and they can work with people more like me who might be in that meeting getting all that raw data, but need to pair with somebody who has great illustration or information architecture skills to take this content into the visual look. So that's one way, is custom chart work. Now, if you're going in and you're doing graphic recording, that's the thing where you're coming into a meeting. For example, it happens a lot in, you know, those big conferences where they might be bringing in a keynote speaker?
Right, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, or there might be several. You go to some where they have like panels of speakers on certain topics, or they're meeting over several days and lots of different speakers are happening. So that's what happens with graphic recording, is where, again, you're off on the side with these large sheets of paper, and it's all done live and spontaneous. So the custom chart work, you've got that time to get that data, and then maybe you might go through several edit versions, right, till you come up with a beautiful final product. The graphic recording work is so fun for those of us who do it and those who get to see it, because it's done spontaneously, it's live. So it's really like performance art in some ways, where you're listening to a speaker, say it's Bill Gates giving a talk on something connected with whatever's next with him. And so you're in a big room with him and he's up there on stage and you might be off on the side recording the essence of that talk. And you're just doing your best as it's happening to record that in a visual manner and really pull out the knowledge nuggets of what he's talking about and getting that down. It's so fun to do it. I spent years doing that. I loved it because you get to be such a curious person, right? You get to listen to all these fantastic ideas and scribe them out. And people who are there, too, they just really appreciate having something tangible instead of the air, you know, the floating out or the ideas just floating away or just PowerPoint. You know, the typical PowerPoint slides that we see, they're great. They have their purpose, but graphic recording provides this really humane element. And there's great takeaways. So you can create a digital document that can be sent around, distributed afterwards. You can create reports. You can create, you know, printed, nice printed materials to follow up with people in an event, give them a nice takeaway, a remembrance document of what happened.
And so many people learn visually that, you know, it's really appealing because, I mean, you can take, like you said, text or slideshows or something, but when you have the examples that I've seen where they have the artwork on the wall where it's huge, it's almost like a large mural.
Yes, exactly.
And you can almost get the sense of the whole meeting just by traveling through it because it's done as the speaker's speaking. So it's one thing, one idea flows into the next, almost like a mind map kind of thing with a lot of visuals.
Yeah.
So it's really, really interesting to me.
Yeah. And it's a nice way to have a summary, a remembrance document, but it's also a communication device. It would depend on how complex the information was, but you can also share that document with people who weren't there, right? Or authors and speakers, too, can have that summary maybe on their website for people who may want to hire them, right? So they can see this visual summary, and it acts as this kind of, wow, what's that? And it allows them to talk about what their different talks are, right? And entice their audience in to hire them.
Now, when you're sharing this, the material with people, how has technology changed that? I mean, I'm sure it's opened a lot of different doors for you specifically. I mean, just getting the work out to people.
Yeah, it's been a radical change in such a short period of time. With technology overall, right, in our lives and specifically in this way of working. My mentor, David Sibbett, when he would work large, he tells these tales. It's kind of like when your parent says to you, when I was a little kid, I had to walk uphill both ways, you know, from school. So he tells this tale about, he's like, after I'd come from working, slaving all day, creating these murals, he'd come home at night and he'd actually literally draw them out small. Right. Wow. So to work from a large size sheet of paper to get it down to the small size version that he could distribute to his clients, he would literally redo it.
Oh, my God.
Small scale. Yeah.
That is walking both ways uphill, isn't it?
That's right. And that wasn't that long ago. So then it progressed to something called photostat cameras. And so when I first entered about, 15, 17 years ago, we had photostat cameras, which are you guys familiar with those?
Oh, yeah. All too well.
So the big, huge...
Pull the little dark shade, go in the dark there in the back of the camera.
Not quite that bad, but yes. So those for those who don't know, they're massive cameras. And when you have a big, large thing to photograph, these charts, by the way, sometimes can be up to 16 or 20 feet long, normally 4 feet high. So you need a large place to post them up and photograph them. And so these cameras were the only thing that could do them. And they're actually like a room-sized camera. So there were very few places at the time I was in the U.S. that have them. So it's moved from that where you were limited. You actually had to live somewhere where you could easily schlep your stuff to be photographed. And when the digital cameras came in, it changed everything. And I live in Victoria, BC. I'm Canadian originally. I was down in the U.S. for over a decade. And one of the things that prevented me from being able to move back home to my little island here on the West Coast was access to technology. Easy access. And then when digital cameras came in, it so opened that. And the first cameras, you know, were about $1,500 or $2,000, and they were a big deal. Now what we can get, just, you know, a $100 camera that you pick up from the drugstore can do this really, you know, great stuff compared to what we used to have technology-wise. And then, and now it's just also with the internet, with the file sizes, it's so much easier to share things. I mean, it's just simple. You just PDF them, you send them around. Most of my clients just prefer something, if it's a facilitated meeting where we've worked on some sort of planning or visioning and we've got the raw data and quick turnaround charts, they want something quick. So I will literally just take pictures of my digital camera, put them into a simple report in PowerPoint. They're just the pictures of the actual charts up on the wall, the graphics. I'll stick a title and an annotation on them and turn that into a quick little report, send that out by email as soon as I can. So it's very simple, and technology has just so aided us. And that's part of why this work has really grown as well, especially in the last 10 years, is because of technology. It's just opened things up.
Yeah, now amazing. You've used this primarily for corporate work, right?
Well, no. Yeah.
I mean in the past.
Where it started.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of at the same time, though, parallel to that, it's really anybody who needs to think and talk and make decisions. So it's also was used a lot in the military. One of my mentors, Jim Channon, who's what's his website? Arcturus, ARCTURUS.org. He's in Hawaii. He came out of the U.S. military. It was used extensively there. Because talk about having to come together as groups and make decisions, right, and figure out where you're going. Also, any sorts of not-for-profits. In the early days, work was done. There's a woman, Jennifer Landau, who did a lot of work with the Girl Guides and scouting. So it's really used everywhere where people need to come together and collaborate. And what I've done is I've taken it with the advent of coaching and personal growth work over coaching as a field has really emerged in the last decade. And I'm a hypnotherapist and a coach. And I was doing the corporate work in my day job and then, you know, getting my training in these areas. And everybody wanted to work with me because I took these cool visual notes. And I was like, there is a opportunity here. So I work a lot now in coaching settings, so helping individuals do their thinking, and couples and business partners, even families. So it's used wherever people need to think and figure out things.
You know, it's funny. I used to take visual notes in high school. That didn't go over very well.
Yeah, what's up with that?
All my
You're
notes
ahead
in high
of
school.
Your time.
I was ahead of the curve, but it didn't get me anywhere. Got me in detention.
Oh, that's not true. Look at where you are now. Come
well,
on.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, at the time, you know, all it got me is in detention. So,
yeah, detention, eh?
He's in art class, though.
So now, you know, you mentioned coaching and, dealing more with individuals, I guess, or,
yeah.
You know, right. So in terms of like trying to figure out where maybe a small business owner, might want to take their business, or, you know, if they're looking at changing direction with their business, you can help them out also with the interactive graphics, right?
Right, right, okay. Exactly, yeah.
And is that a growing area for you, like the small business owner? Because, I mean, there's so many of them out there now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a different target market, if you will. So there's the corporate, and that's certainly one area that I've worked in and my colleagues continue to work in across the world is in the corporate market. Also, I mentioned government, not-for-profit, and now small business individuals. So it's really whatever particular market that you're called to work in and what your expertise is. There's a word in here, it might not be too familiar for some of the artists and illustrators in your audience, but a big word is process. So it's not just about the art, it's really a marriage between visuals and art and process. So I'm a mentor of people who come into this work. Some people come where they have a lot of process. For example, they might be facilitators who do strategic planning, or they might be a trainer who works in some sort of financial training or something. So they already have process. They already know how to put a group of people through something in order to get some sort of result. What I'm teaching them is adding a visual layer. But for people probably who'll be listening to this interview from your audience, they're on the other side. They've actually got visuals and illustrative training or a background. What they need to add in order to do this work is some sort of understanding around process. Either they need to develop that themselves, so they have to learn what would you do, for your example about a business owner, what, if you had a business owner in the room, what would be the logical steps to take them through to be helpful with helping them make some decisions? So that's process. There's different areas that you can go to learn processes to help people do their thinking. The visual is a whole other layer to it. And people in my field, I actually have a process for graphic coaching called Shift It, the Shift It graphic coaching process, which has 17 maps that will take a client through step by step how to think about their past, how to think about where they are, how to think about where they want to go, and then how to make plans and how to really bust through any of their sabotage that might be in the way. So that's an example of process. So if for artists, illustrators, et cetera, who are stumbling across this field, that's wonderful. And you've got those skills under your belt. What you're going to need to develop is some sort of understanding about process, or you need to partner with somebody who does that. So it's not unusual to start to get into this work by maybe being a custom chart person to somebody who has, say, organizational clients, and they need help. They have all the raw data, say back to that history map example, but what they need is somebody with really great art skills who can put it together into a piece, maybe using a certain metaphor that they've come up with that would be appropriate for this particular group. The other thing that you could do to get into this field easily if you have art or illustrative background is to go into graphic recording. You're probably going to want to focus on some sort of content area that's quite general to begin with, or that you have a special affinity to. When I first started out, I was, like I said, down in the Bay Area, so there was a lot of technology stuff. So just because of geography, I was exposed to a lot of that. So over time, being in those kinds of meetings, I really understood the terminology and what they were talking about so that I could illustrate that quite easily. So normally you start to develop specialty areas in certain industries or certain topic areas that you're a graphic recorder who comes in and works in that, you know, kind of genre or venue.
And so you
would
need
a certain, does that make sense?
Yeah, you would need a certain familiarity with what they're doing and how they're doing it.
Yeah. What are they talking about, right? So if you come in and are doing graphic recordings, you're scribing things in the spontaneous manner. Just imagine if you're dropped in somewhere into meeting, it's going to be helpful to understand what the heck they're talking about.
Yeah,
so that,
sure.
Yeah, because you're making it visible for everybody else.
And also right, the artwork right. Oh, go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, so it has to translate. If you're going to be working with, you know, with a certain client, you need your visuals to make sense for the people who are looking at it.
Yeah, and you need to understand what they're talking about so you can turn around and depict it.
And I imagine you probably work up a relationship with the people that you are in touch with, and they come to trust you after a while too, probably.
Yeah, Bob. And this circles around to your previous question. Now that we've laid this base, is okay, how do you actually get in there and what do you do? So the first thing when you get a call, from a client who's like, you know, I think I'm interested in bringing in a graphic recorder for this keynote talk that we're having. The first thing I would say would be like, great. So tell me about the speaker. And what are they going to be talking about? And can I get my hands, maybe, do they have a PowerPoint? Or do they have a website? Do they have a white paper that I might be able to read? So I like to go in and prep a lot, understanding what they're going to be talking about as much as possible, so that when we go live, the paper's up and that person's talking, I have a sense of what's coming and how I might depict it.
I'm sorry. And do you meet with them ahead of time to try to prepare these things?
Sometimes. Or? Yep. Sometimes if you're in the same geography, you could do that. It's great to meet people ahead of time. It's a luxury. Mostly you just have a phone call and you would send documents back and forth and, you know, do your prep, your homework beforehand and then show up and do it.
Wow.
And this isn't about creating like finished masterpiece illustrations. This is about capturing quick thumbnail ideas that translate the concept, because otherwise you'll be on one drawing and the guy's gonna be like halfway through his speech and
it'll be a perfect computer looking computer,
but
that's such a good point, because that's what I find with the artists who I teach is I have to actually invite them to let go of a bunch of stuff that they've maybe spent a long time learning how to do, right? Because you don't have the time to do that. And you're really focused on content, right? You're following what these people are talking about, and you're wanting to actually, in some ways, extract out what's the most important stuff, because you can't write everything. So you need to be able, just like what you said, you need to be able to move on. Sometimes you know what you're going to draw, and you can leave space for that on your chart, or do a little pencil note to yourself, okay, draw a train here, speeding bullet train or something, right? And then but you're following along on the content to get that all down, and then you can go back and you can put in your more detailed illustrations when you have time to do that.
It's funny. Yeah. It's funny, you know, like when the game Pictionary came out,
mm-hmm.
All my friends wanted me to be on their team.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out.
Because you were too perfect.
I would sit there trying to make the picture perfect instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
After a couple of games, people would, like, you know, swap me out for the worst, you know, artist on the, in the house.
Yeah, Carlos, you have a 15-second deadline, man. You got to hurry up.
That's a very short deadline.
Stick figures, right? Yeah. And you'll look at our work. We call them star men and star people. But
exactly.
They're very basic. And that's because you don't have time to go elaborate. If you'd like elaborate, that's great. You probably would create a niche in the custom chart work where you have a lot more time to create something, you know, at a higher level. But right. When you're working live like that, it's just very basic icons, and they're quick enough that the person just understands, oh, that's a person, that's a computer, that's a whatever.
And now I've even seen where people are using video, you know, like fast motion video,
yes.
Where they're fast forwarding, and they're actually drawing it, and they video that, and they'll condense it down to like a quick 15-minute video or something, and it's just really fast.
Yeah, there's RSA Animate has made those really famous over the last couple of years. It's kind of been a double-edged sword. It's helped a lot of people understand the power of visuals, but on the flip side, for people who do the work I do, it's really raised the bar about expectation levels. People get confused about what conditions that was created under. So those would normally take several days to create one of those short little 7-minute videos, right, where it's all perfectly drawn out. They're wonderful, but they're really a constructed piece, and that's much different from doing something, you know, graphic recording live.
So people expect you to draw a lot faster.
Yeah, that's right. You really have to bust the expectation before you show up that that's not going to happen. Yeah.
First of all, that's done in fast motion. Second of all,
you're going to have to pay me a lot more.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Christina, let me ask you a question, and you can answer this or not, or just give me a range, because I'm like totally unfamiliar with this area. So,
yeah, sure.
I mean, I'm familiar with illustration rates, and they all kind of vary depending on, you know, what the illustration is used for, or photography, or what have you. How do you price out? How do you go about pricing out a corporate, you know, like a corporate
yeah.
presentation, or versus an individual or a small firm, or, you know,
yeah.
a small group of entrepreneurs?
Yeah, it's really all over the place, and it depends on a couple of factors. It's going to depend on your experience and your background, how long you've been doing it, and what particular stuff you might be doing. It also depends on geography. So if you're in a larger city that has, and you're working in the kind of corporate circle, you're going to be able to charge higher and command higher, and especially if you have the experience to go along with it as well. So it runs the whole gamut. When people are first starting out, I suggest they do a lot of pro bono stuff or lower fee. And lower fee, again, it depends on the nature of the work, but let's talk about graphic recording and graphic facilitation to start. So graphic recorders starting out could be anywhere from $500 to $1,500, $2,000 a day.
Mm-hmm.
When you get well-known at it, it's not unusual to be $3,000, $4,000 a day, especially, or up, especially if you're working in the upper echelon of companies. You tend to get paid more in the U.S. than you do in Canada and Europe. Those are the places that I'm most familiar with. For graphic facilitation, it's more because you're also responsible for the facilitation side of things, right? So you're coming in, you're meeting with the clients, you're creating some sort of process, you're dealing sometimes with coaching them and helping them hold the space for their clients as well. So that's a higher level skill. So again, it depends if it's not for profit or corporate clients, but normally anywhere from 1500 a day up to 6000 a day or beyond.
Yeah, because I mean, you really have to have a command of coaching and bringing people through a process. I mean, you have to have that experience.
Yeah, yeah, you do. And it depends on who you're working with. But for those of you who might be familiar, I mean, there's big consulting companies out there, accounting firms, right, who are doing very high-end, very important projects, very expensive projects. So when they run meetings, they need meetings to go well. So they bring in graphic recorders or graphic facilitators to run them, to help them run them. And it's big stakes. So it can be seemingly expensive for people who aren't used to those worlds. But when you think about what is the value of bringing those 20 or whatever executives in from around the world, it's a very high stakes game. And you need that meeting to go well. And you need somebody who knows what they're doing. So people who've been in this field for years and really know their stuff, they're really worth their weight in gold because they can make things happen when they need to happen in those rooms.
All right. So someone looking to get into the field, because I know you've got to be leaving soon and our time is limited with you today. So I want to be respectful of that. So for people that wanted to get into this field, for example, so, you know, the best route to looking for people to work with or work for, would it be individual corporations that they can go after, or should it be people like yourself that do the coaching and they can do the graphic facilitation for?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's going to depend on what you're starting with. So if you're starting, you have illustrative background, excuse me. The first place to start is getting some understanding about the field. So start with an internet search, put in graphic recording, graphic facilitation, and educate yourself a little bit. The next thing you're probably going to want to do is see it. So there are a couple places you can go to look for geographical directories. One is a colleague of mine, Peter Durant, has a wonderful blog, graphicfacilitation.com. I would start there, look at the geographical directory, and see if there's anybody near you. Phone him up, take him out for lunch, say, if you have any local gigs, would I be able to come and watch? Because you want to really understand the work. And it's going to depend on the person that you're shadowing too, because they might be working in a certain area or a certain clientele. So the more people you can shadow, the better. There's a lot of stuff on the web now where you can watch videos and things. So that's even good, getting exposed to different things. There is a community, a couple of them, but one around graphic recording is called the International Forum of Visual Practitioners. IFVP.org is their website. They have an annual conference. It's great to go to that conference because a whole bunch of graphic recorders are pulled together and you can see the diversity of the work and figure out what area that you might want to play in. But even more, you get to meet people. And a lot of this work when you're first starting out is mentoring and finding somebody who can take you under their wing a little bit and groom you. And can ideally, once you're groomed up to a certain level, pass along some work to you. If you're a graphic recorder, and it's a good place to start, even if you want to be a facilitator, it gives you some beginning skills. But you're going to want to look for facilitators who maybe don't have the graphic skill, but they understand the value. And they will partner with you, and you come in as a graphic facilitation team. So the lead person, that person doing the facilitation, and you doing the graphic recording. And together you work as a team. I did that for years when I was first starting out. So it's kind of a little different from where you don't necessarily approach the corporations yourself, although you could do that once your skill level's up. It's more about developing your skill level. There's a lot, and we could do a whole other call on this, and I know you do a lot of work on this, Carlos, and I do a lot of mentoring with people on internet marketing, and that's part of why I've been have the level of success I do, is that I've learned a lot about how to market this stuff. So once you start to develop a bit of a portfolio, whether you're doing it through your own stuff or through some pro bono work or however you're doing it, you really need to get that out into the world so that people know that you're available to do this. And network, network, network with other people who are doing the work. So they're aware of who you are, what your talents are, what you like to do, what kinds of clients you prefer to work with. It's wonderful if you can develop a niche because it helps differentiate you. So, oh, great, you're the person for high tech, or you're the person for women's issues, right? Where you start to get identified as having some content expertise in certain areas. So excellent. That probably gives you, does that give you some ideas
absolutely.
About how to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because I mean, you know, because it may not be for everybody in our audience, but I mean, there are people that, you know, obviously it's the kind of thing where you have to leave your studio for most cases, you know, to learn how to do it and get around other people.
Yeah.
I mean, there are artists that enjoy leaving the studio and mingling with other people. And it might be, you know, a good career shift or something that they can look into if, you know, if one of the primary areas that they're working within happens to be a market that's drying up, you know,
and
is too competitive or whatever the case may be. If this is something that's of interest to you, this might be a good avenue for you to explore. Christina, you also train other people on how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you've created a whole training program for people who want to learn more about this and want to take, you know, the next step. Can you tell us a little bit about that and maybe where they can sign up and find some more information? I know you have a 43-page freebie on your site that I downloaded back, you know, a while back, and it's very helpful and it's very well put together. And I would recommend that anybody sign up for that.
Thank you. My website, there's two, but makemark.com. And then the one focused around coaching is shiftitcoach.com. And it's got, unfortunately, dashes in between each name, which complicates everything. So it's shift-it-coach.com. And if you just plunk my name, Christina Merkley, into a search engine, you'll find me. No problem. The training that I have at first starts the base level is called Fundamentals of Interactive Graphics. And I run an online version once a year in the fall. So actually it's coming up October 17th through December 14th for this year. And it's 9 weeks online and teaches people the fundamentals of this work. I also do an in-person once a year, a public workshop. As well, I do private trainings that I can custom individually for people depending on how they're entering into the work. And they fly in and work with me in Victoria, BC, Canada. And then beyond that, I have a certification for people who are interested in coaching. And you do have to have already been, you're already a coach or you're a therapist or a counselor, somebody who is ethically skilled already to work with individuals. And if you've got that background behind you, then I certify people in becoming a certified graphic coach and teach them my particular shifted process and also do a lot of work with them if they have their own process and content area about how to create visual tools or maybe their own signature system that they can create around their own content. So really helping them build out, you know, a fuller sales funnel. So it's not just about them always having to do their work. They can end up creating products or their own training and certification programs and their own content, all in a visual way.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Fantastic. Anything else, Bob?
Well, no. What we'll do is we'll take all the sites and things that she'd mentioned, and we'll put those in the show notes for people to find, so it'll be easier for them to get in touch with you. Thanks so much for coming on and talking with us today. I found the information that you shared with us today was tremendously helpful and very interesting, too.
Great. And hopefully we'll put some visuals up there.
Yeah, we can do that.
It's weird to do it, isn't it? In audio, talking auditorily about visual stuff. Yeah. Thanks, you two. This has been fun. I hope been useful for your audience.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I mean, I find this information fascinating, personally, just because, you know, it's a whole new area. And you know, and looking at what you're doing, how you've expanded and grown it in so many different directions, that's evolved from that is just really fascinating to me. And
it's fun,
you know, I'd like to you know, maybe get you on the phone again sometime in the future, and maybe we can get into a deeper discussion about the business structure itself, on how, you know, you've taken what, you know, this experience and these skills and kind of parlayed them into, you know, a much larger business. Because I think, you know, that's something that I speak to a lot of my clients about, is expanding their business base a little bit. And I think that'll be, you know, really, really interesting for people.
I'd love to do that. I have a 9-month mastermind. It's called the Business Life Accelerator, where I do that. I teach people the outer method and the inner method for really developing their creative it. So I would love to come back and talk more about the marketing and the packaging and the slicing of your content and your ideas.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait personally. Okay. I might have to just call you just to speak to you one on one.
Sounds good, Carlos.
Although getting a hold of you isn't always easy.
But, no, you know, we have
but
to
you're
do
busy.
Yeah.
Christina, thanks again for joining us today. I know you've got someplace to be, so
I gotta go golf.
You gotta go golf. Well, we're being ditched for a golf ball.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks,
all right,
Christina.
Christina, thanks.
Take care. Bye for now.
Bye. Well, that was interesting. That was Christina Merkley from ShiftItCoach.com. What do you think, Bob?
You know, Carlos, one of the things I really like about Drawn by Success is getting to meet all these people who have such different backgrounds and do such different things with art. It's really inspirational. But, you know, it gets you thinking, like, sometimes you're sitting at your desk and you're like, you know, there's got to be something else to do with my artwork. And when you hear something like this, it's just, you know, it just makes you think, wow, that, you know, there are so many different outlets I could be looking into and different ways that I can present art. And I thought that, you know, some of the things that she talked about today were really fascinating. And I, you know, personally, I think I'll probably look into it a little bit more and try to learn some more about this kind of thing.
Yeah, when I first heard about this, man, I'm telling you, like I said when she was on, is that, you know, it just kind of turned my world around a little bit. You know, and the reason why, you know, I put Drawn by Success together is I personally have a keen interest in how people make a living. You know, I don't care really what it is. It doesn't even have to be in the art industry. I'm just really fascinated by how people create careers out of things that they enjoy, and successful careers, not just where they're limping along. I mean, successful careers. I mean, I've met millionaires who are carpet cleaners. I mean, you know, it's really fascinating, and those people tend to do things differently than their peers. And that's what I found so interesting. So when I plug into people like this, you know, they're people that are doing things slightly differently, in a different way, have learned to look at what they do through different eyes. And, you know, basically that's what we're trying to deliver here on Drawn by Success, is trying to give you ideas to kind of look at what you do differently through different eyes, looking at it through a lens of other interests that you may have, other skills that you may have that you may have maybe never even considered marrying with your art, you know, can spin off a whole new career for yourself.
Yeah. So, you know, what we're hoping that you guys will do when you listen to this, or you listen to any of the interviews that we do, is, you know, climb out from behind your desk and take a look at what's going on out there. There's a whole big world that you might not even know about, that could relate back to what you're doing or what you'd like to do. You know, I mean, it's not just I'm an illustrator. It's just so much more than that. There's so much opportunity out there, and it's really fascinating to get to talk to these people and learn all about the different ways that they do things.
And don't fall into, you know, on Drawn by Success, one of the things that I had someone tell me this before. He said, I should interview more illustrators and more cartoonists. I will, and I have. But here's the thing. Just because you're an illustrator or a graphic designer or a cartoon, whatever it is that you label yourself as, because we have someone on that may be in a different industry, don't blow it off and disregard it, and don't think that they don't have anything to offer you. The reason why we mix it up is very deliberate. It's to give you a different point of view of how people are doing things. And you can very easily grasp something that's working for someone else in a different industry where they're doing something totally unique, where they may not be doing that in your own industry. And you can incorporate that or spin it off and get another idea, and it might feed into another idea that you get. So don't sit back and say, oh, well, this guy's a photographer and I'm not a photographer. You know, nothing he's going to say kind of relates to me because I'm not a photographer. That's the worst mistake that you can make. And from my experience talking to all these people, is that they are so wide open, it's not even funny, to new ideas and new concepts. They talk to everyone. They talk to people, artists, the successful artists that we've had on the show, don't only talk to other artists. They talk to other professional, successful business people in traditional businesses. They talk to stockbrokers. They talk to real estate agents who are successful. They talk to everyone who's successful because they know that they're doing something right that their peers aren't doing, and they try to bring that back home to what you know to their smaller world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Carlos. One of the things that I learned really early in my career was that you can learn from everybody. I mean, everybody has something to teach you. If you're willing to listen, you'll learn from them.
Absolutely. So with that said, that concludes our interview with Christina Merkley for today. Check out her website for sure. She's got check out her freebie, her 43-page freebie there. Costs you
just
nothing.
Just links to the show notes. Yep.
Yep, and we'll have all the links below. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again soon.
You've been listening to Drawn by Success.
.com.
Yeah, you know .com, right? It's already here.
play some weird music. excellent, Mr. Bob. Another great show.